Attention to Psalms 105 and looking at some other texts tonight. I want to bring some thoughts on the subject of the director of forgiveness. The director of forgiveness. If there is to be true forgiveness, if you are to come to a place where you can let it go, forget it, there must be someone behind the scenes directing you into the realms of forgiveness. There must be someone who will cause us tonight to be able to enter into His forgiveness so that we're able to forgive others. And what has been written in a well laid out script of an example of great forgiveness and forgetting, it would be in the life of Joseph. We see in his life the director of forgiveness. Amen. You might say tonight you forgive them for hurting you, but if you can remember all the details and the dates, it's a good chance that you've never forgiven them. Because part of forgiving is he give you the ability to forget it. And is so illustrated in the life of Joseph. As we begin tonight in Psalms 105, I want to look first of all tonight at the directing of a wound. The directing of a wound. The Bible says in Psalms 105 and verse 17, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt. I am extremely interested in that little word, hurt. The little word means a deep, unseen wound. The Bible says that they hurt him with fetters. He was laid in iron. The little phrase, laid in iron, the little phrase literally means a deep, burning in the spirit or in the soul. It is very clear from the scriptures tonight that Joseph has been wounded in his spirit. He's been wounded in his soul. It is not something that is clear to the human eye. Preacher, how long did it last? Verse number 19 says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. If you've got your Bible there, turning over to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 17, the Bible says this, we're talking about the directing of a wound. Just exactly how did you get hurt? Do you think it was an accident that it happened? That person that cut your guts out hurt you so deeply. Do you think it just seemed to have happened? Or could there possibly have been somebody directing the whole entire thing for a purpose and for a reason. Matter of fact, God said over in Deuteronomy, He said, I wound. How come? He said that He might heal. Yeah. In Proverbs chapter number 17, verse number 22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken, or the little word there is a wounded spirit, drive the bones. I tell you, you won't see many people that are happy shouting the victory if they've been hurt, they've been wounded, and they've never gotten over it. They've never gotten beyond it. Most of the time you'll see them like this. Sort of expression of less. Looking at the Bible again, we're talking about the directing of this wound. Chapter number 18 of the Proverbs in verse 14. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? That little word bear means to lift up, to walk in an easy yoke. Oh, I tell you, when somebody's hurt you, one of your youngins have come along, cut your guts out for you, some grand youngin you've been helping, they've just hurt you bad. I tell you, it's hard to operate in an easy yoke and a light burden tonight. I'm talking about the directing of the wound. Preacher, you got any biblical evidence that Joseph had a wounded spirit? I'd have never brought it up if I couldn't prove it. If you've got a Bible tonight, Genesis chapter number 40. What is the evidence of a wounded spirit tonight? One of the evidences of it tonight is that you'll be hurt and you'll tell somebody else about it. You'll be hurt and you'll tell somebody else about it. You'll not keep it to yourself. Genesis chapter number 40. We're talking about the directing of this wound. I want us to see under this topic tonight a wounded spirit. When Joseph dealt with the baker and the butler and revealed their dream to them, one of them would die, one of them would be put back in his place. When they left the prison, Joseph told them this, verse number 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. This is the very first time in 20 years that Joseph has made mention that he has been mistreated. And that he shouldn't be where he is at. He said, I was stolen. That little word stolen there means to be carried away by deception. He said, for indeed I was stolen out of the land of Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon. He said, I am without fault. Here Joseph for the first time is going to trust the arm of the flesh. He's going to ask the man to remember him. What a fool's errand that would be tonight. Verse number 23 of chapter number 40. The Bible said, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Verse number 1 of chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full. I didn't know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd highlight it for you. It cost him 2 more years, full years in prison, because he depended upon the arm of the flesh with a wounded spirit tonight. Oh, not only do we want to look at this thing of the directing of the wound, at a wounded spirit, but I want to mention tonight, if I could, a wound sustained. Preacher, suppose I have been hurt tonight. Suppose somebody has dealt me the wrong hand. Suppose someone has, in days gone by, hurt me deeply. How would someone go about getting over that? A wounded spirit. I came across some material not long ago, and it mind-boggled me. It was the information that the National Medical Association put out in what to do if someone in your home has an open wound on their body. And I got to reading that, I thought I was going to have a shouting fit. Because everything they said that you ought to do to a physical wound, you're going to have to do to a wounded spirit before you ever get over it. One of the things they said to do is that you must remove the trauma. You're going to have to get away from whatever's causing you to get hurt. Huh? Tell you, if your grand youngins are cutting your guts out, it may be time that you leave them in the oven until they get done. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. One of the things that I learned, it took me a while. I am a slow learner. But I finally learned it with my oldest boy. Of course, he's probably a millionaire on paper now. But when I was dealing with him as a teenager, I kept getting him out of the oven before he was done. And I tell you, when I left him in that oven and let him get cooked, oh, I tell you, just changed things. You must get away and remove the trauma. Something else the National Medical Association said, that you must cleanse the wound. Does not the Bible say that we must wash ourselves with the Word of God tonight? If you've been hurt tonight, someone's done you wrong tonight, you must take massive doses of this book. You'll not be able to lay me down to sleep. You'll not be able to read a few verses and run out of the house in the morning. You'll have to saturate yourself with the Word of God, or you'll never get over that wounded spirit. It's impossible. I believe our Baptist churches are full of wounded spirits. You get hurt in some one church, you just move to another so you don't have to face them. Some preacher hurts you, move to another church. Some preacher gets hurt, he'll just go to the next church. Don't even want to see that crowd in that other church. Get on the other side of the road when they go by. Oh no, you got to remove the trauma. Massive saturation of the Word of God to cleanse the wound. What else did they say? They said you must have much protein if you're going to close up a wound. What? Much protein. Got to have a lot of meat. Red meat. Huh? You're going to have to get into the high doctrines of the Word of God. Huh? That saturates yourself with the deep things of God. Huh? It's going to have to get bigger than you're just saved. You have to start talking that crazy talk like the preacher was talking about. Like, you know, you got to talk about he'd been saved since the foundation of the world. He was saved a long time before he ever got saved. You know, crazy stuff like that. It's the meat. You saturate with it. The only thing that'll close up an open wound tonight, a wounded spirit. Something else the National Medical Association said, I thought this was interesting. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this one or not. This is way off the charts. It'll take time to heal it. I'm looking for it to heal overnight. This was a big thought to me. There will have to be closure. You're going to have somebody do some suturing on you. You listening to me tonight? There must be some suturing. Isaiah said in Isaiah 1, said, your wounds have not been closed. Or as long as they're just scabbed over, there is the possibility that they will open again. I'm talking about the directing of the wound. You got your Bible there? Genesis chapter number 45. I want you to see, when was it that God closed the wound upon Joseph? It's very obvious to me when he told that baker and that butler, said, listen, I don't deserve to be here. It was through deception. He doesn't talk about God put me here. Oh no. He's talking about his stinking brothers put him there. Got a wounded spirit. And in chapter number 45, the brothers have come down. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but he's been second in command for 7 years. How come he has not sent word down there to his daddy's house and told them that he is sitting on the throne running the show up there and second in command? Oh, I tell you how come he hadn't sent word down there. That wound's still open.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's already trusted the arm of the flesh one time, and it cost him 2 years, and he's not trusting it again. He's going to wait for God to shut her up.
Amen.
And suture the thing. And in chapter number 45, watch when God puts the last suture in there and closes the wound. Verse number 1 of chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried and caused every man to go out from him. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? At the end of 7 years, he's finally come to the place that he can not only forgive them, he can forget it, and he's realized that there is a God in heaven that has been directing the whole thing, bringing him right to this point. It is God who has caused this wound to come up in his heart. And I tell you, he is behind every hurt that you have experienced tonight. Every time somebody has hurt you, it was not them doing it. It was God causing them to hurt you. How come? So God could be the great healer and get all of the glory. Maybe you and I could catch a glimpse of how much we have offended him, how much we've hurt him. There's no comparison to how much they have hurt us. There is the directing of the wound. But go further if you've got your Bible there. We're going to backtrack now. We're going to come back up to where Joseph's at. Genesis chapter number 37, not only do I want us to see the directing of the womb, but I want us to see the directing of the work. Preacher, are you sure that God is behind this womb? Preacher, are you going to stand here and tell us tonight that every time I've been hurt tonight, God was behind it? Honey, I'm glad you heard me. That's what I said. I'm not a change in that. Genesis chapter number 37. I want you to see in the life of Joseph, in this womb that he experiences, I notice in this the directing of this work. I notice that there is an interposing work. An interposing work. I use the little word interposing because it so fits Joseph's life. The little word interpose means to come in between you and another. It has the idea of things planned in a number of scenes to cause one dramatic scene. Interpose. Watch how God interposes his work in the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph's daddy asked him to go down and check on his brethren, see how the flock is going. Chapter number 37 and verse number 13. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. He said to him, here am I. Time out! Hold on! What in the world is Jacob doing? Has he lost his mind? He knows them boys hate Joseph's guts. What worse he want to send that boy down there for snooping on them? I tell you how come he's sending him down there. There's a director behind the scenes. And he's interposing his ideas into Jacob's head, getting Jacob to do what he wants to. You say, I don't believe in a God like that. I tell you, you believe in a God of your own thinking, not a God of the Bible. Huh? God of the Bible ain't interested in making you happy. God of the Bible is interested in making you holy. Huh? Oh, watch him now. I'm talking about his interposing work. Bible says in verse number 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it is well with thy brethren, well with the flock. Bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. The little word Hebron there is a place of intimate oneness. Joseph is going to leave the place of intimate oneness, and the Bible said he's going to go down to Shechem. The little word Shechem there tonight is the place of an unbearable burden. Yep. He's going to leave the place of intimate oneness tonight and enter the place of an unbearable burden. What in the world has God up to? I tell you what he's up to. He's up to being God's what he's up to. Huh? Watch the text now. Verse 15. And a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, said, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. I was interested in this man that has found Joseph. The little word found there is an interesting word. It means to see because one is looking. He's been looking for this boy. Pray tell, who is he? The Bible identifies him as a certain man. I would bring your attention to what that little word is in Hebrew. It's a little word husbandman. The Bible says he's been found by the husbandman. Who in the world is he? Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. He is the controller of the garden. He's the one that prunes the trees. He's the one that cuts them back. Oh, I tell you, old Joseph done run slap into God down here in this little old garden. And he asked him, he said, "You seen my brethren?" And this fellow just happened by accident, by coincidence, has seen his brethren. And he tells them in verse number 17, "And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." I wonder what else he heard them say. I wonder if he heard them say how much they hated Joseph's guts. Here is God interposing himself into the life of Joseph, and he's going to lead Joseph down to Dothan so he can have the greatest wound in his spirit that a man has ever encountered. And God is behind it all. It is his interposing work. He is the God behind all your hurts. He is the God behind all your disappointments. I tell you, preacher, things hadn't been going like I thought they would have gone. I tell you how come they're not. You've not come to the places David said, "My expectations are from the Lord. Whatever God sends, that's what I was expecting." You ever get like that, you won't ever be disappointed. Because whatever happens tomorrow, that's what I was expecting. I know God's going to send that sooner or later. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? You can quit sucking your thumb coming around here on Wednesday night whining about how bad you've got it. You was expecting it anyhow. Huh? God's interposing work. You got your Bible there. Chapter number 39. Not only do I see in this the directing work. We've looked at the directing wound. Now we looked at the directing work. We looked at the interposing work. But could I mention the invisible work? Most of the time when you're hurting tonight, God, somebody's cut your guts out. You usually don't see God around much. You don't feel him. You won't be shouting around the church. Oh, because you feel like God's a million miles away. So in Genesis chapter number 39, you've got your Bible there. Verse number 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, Potiphar, also Pharaoh, captain of the guard. The Bible said in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw what? Time out, hold on. This is a pagan heathen Gentile. He don't even know God. The Bible said that he saw that the Lord was with him, made him to prosper in all that he did. You remember he's accused of trying to attack his wife. They put him in prison. The Bible said we're talking about the invisible work of God. Verse number 21, he's in prison now. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy and gave him favor. What? Time out! Hold on! A heathen, Gentile jailer. I don't know if they've changed a lot, but most of the time those that are in jail work, they ain't but one step from being in there themselves. Are you listening to me tonight? He sees that God is with this boy Joseph. How come God continues to let people mention to Joseph that they can see that God is with him? I tell you how come. When you're hurting, you don't see or feel no God around you at all. But oh, don't we have a wonderful God tonight? He'll keep reminding us, either through the circumstances or either through the Word, or somebody will come along. If you'll keep looking and keep listening while all around your soul's giving away, God will remind you, "I am here." Amen. Oh, there is the directing work. God interposing himself into the life of Joseph, directing this thing. He's into that invisible work. Oh, Joseph can't feel him. Joseph can't see him. Joseph's hurting inside. He's lost everything that he's got. And he's got a wounded spirit. It's going to take time to heal it. Feels like God's a million miles away. God keeps bringing people into his life. Said, you know, I notice you've got God on you. Got God on you. Oh, don't we have a gracious and wonderful God tonight to continue to remind us that the Lord is there. Talking about the directing work. If you've got your Bible there tonight, Genesis chapter number 45. Not only do we see tonight in this text of the director of forgiveness, how could he forgive such a horrible deed that he's been through? Surely Joseph will never be able to forgive it. If he does, surely he'll never put it behind him and forget it. We have looked at the directing of the wound. God has brought this wound. We have looked at the directing work. There's an interposing hand of God. His invisible hand is shown. But I'd like to look again in Genesis 45 tonight at the directing wonder. The directing wonder. There is in this text the wonderful pronouncement. I tell you, I don't know about you, I'm going to testify for you. It's one thing to forgive somebody. It's another thing to forget it. I remember years ago, church I had pastored for 18 years, fella just destroyed it, wiped it out. Caused division there like there's never been division before. And now it is behind me almost 16 years. I was thinking the other day, and I know I probably shouldn't do it, but I feel like he's getting on up in age. He's in his 70s. I feel like I need to send him a thank you note before he dies and thank him for what he did. Because I was enjoying that little old church. I worked three jobs, pastored 18 years. I never held a revival meeting but one time in my entire life. And when he come in there and told all them lies and destroyed that work and split it into a million splinters, God slung me out to preaching all over the United States 300 nights a year. I tell you, I need to just send him a thank you note. Huh? Oh, I didn't feel that way then. Oh, I felt like if I could get a hold of him, I'd like to strangle him. Oh, there was the directing wonder. There is a wonderful pronouncement. There's one thing to forgive. There's another thing to come to the realms of forgetting it. And it is a bigger thing to let the one that has hurt you off of the hook and tell them God was behind it all. Oh, that's a horse of a different color. Look at what Joseph does in our text. In verse number 4 of chapter 45, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He is taking the blame off of them. He's saying you're not the one that did it. God is the one that caused you to do it. Amen. Oh my, it's a big thing to forgive. Oh, Oh, that's a big mother may I. Oh, it's a bigger step to forget it. But oh, to take them off the hook and tell them that God caused them to do it. Oh, that's a horse of a different color altogether. Look at verse number 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse number 14, and he fell upon his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren he talked with them. He said, God sent me. That little phrase has the idea that God has pushed this situation upon me. He did it in order to preserve life. He said, God has done this so we can see who sustains life. It is all about God. It's nothing about us. Huh? Not only does he do that, he has forgiven them, he's forgotten them, he's taken them off the hook, but the Bible said that he smothered them with kisses. He's kissing them all over. Hey, when is the last time that one cuts your guts out? You smothered him with kisses. Huh? Why, you don't even want to ride down the same road he's on. Huh? He's going out that door, you're going to go out the other door. You don't even want to pass him. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, he said here he talked with them. It means to commune with another. It has the idea of telling another your heart. Being transparent before them. I'm talking about a wonderful pronouncement. I was thinking about this pronouncement. Another big pronouncement that Joseph made. I know you're well aware of it, but I thought I'd read it in your hearing. Genesis 50, verse number 20. After Jacob died, boys got to thinking, well, Joseph's going to get even with us now. That forgiving and forgetting stuff. Oh, yeah. I've heard people forget and forgive until they get a chance to get even. He's going to get even now. Verse number 20 of chapter 50. It's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To bring it to pass it is this day to save much people alive. That little phrase, God meant it, is a little word for a tapestry. Those that would thread pictures with a tapestry. Many times as we look at our tapestry, all we see is the bottom of it. It looks like a jumbled mess. And I'm sure for years Joseph looked at the bottom of his tapestry, did not know what God was doing. He said, you boys have been threading evil in me. He said, but God overruled you. And he said, from the top side, he said, it's all threaded down here. I can't tell what he's doing, but from the top side, every thread you put in, he has overridden it and threaded it for good. Amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know who's hurt you. Maybe you're looking at the bottom of the tapestry and you're looking how in the world did this mess ever come out. Oh, I tell you, there's a God in heaven. But this is what blows my mind. That little word, God meant it for good, it's a past action declaring a present result. That topside picture, he's not threading that in time. See, that bottom picture, they're hurting you in time. But God said, I've done finished the picture up at the top. She's a done deal. And he said, I turned it all out to become good for you. Amen. Huh? Oh, I love the hand. We all stop right there and have a shout break. You know it. Huh? Have you been hurt real good? I'm talking about had your guts cut out. God said, I have turned the whole thing on the top side and it's going to come out good for you. Huh? Oh, I love that. I'm talking about the wonderful pronouncement. I close with this thought. You got your Bible. Genesis 45. There is a wonderful provision. A wonderful provision. I notice there's provision for the wounders. You know that person that hurts you? God won't help them too. Provision for the wounders. He says in verse number 19, "Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives. Bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff." He said, don't bring none of that junk down here. He said, I'm going to give you all new stuff when you get here. Oh, I love the hound out of that, don't you? I'm telling you, there's provision for the wounders. When somebody will come to the place of forgiving it and forgetting it and realizing God was behind it all and He's a threading it for good, He'll help the one that hurt you and He'll help you that have been hurt.
Amen.
Huh? Talking about the provisions for the wounders. I notice in chapter number 46, there is provision for the wounded. He says in verse number 1, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, he said, here am I. He said, I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make thee a great nation." Verse number 29 of the same chapter, "Joseph made ready his chariots, went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, wept on his neck a good while. Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Joseph said unto his brethren in his father's house, I will go up, show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren in my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me." Not only are there provisions for those that have hurt you, but there will be provisions for us that have been hurt tonight. We can enter into His forgiveness. Oh, do not forget our Joseph. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the director of all forgiveness. His Heavenly Father brought Him to the point of being able to forgive and to forget all that had been done to Him when He cried out, "I, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hey, what was involved in that forgiveness? It was bigger than just saying, "I forgive you." Oh no, His forgiveness involved declaring us not guilty. It involved us being justified. It involved us as having no sin tonight. It involved us being pardoned. It involved us being sanctified. It involved us being adopted tonight. It involved us being joint heirs. It involved us being chosen before the foundation of the world. It involved us being graced tonight. Him giving us what we do not deserve. It involved Him showing us mercy tonight, withholding from us what we do deserve. It involved Him giving us peace with God. It involved Him giving us the peace of God tonight. And if that was not enough, He assured us of a glorified body one day, and an easy yoke and a light burden, and an assurance that one day we'll look back and say, surely goodness and mercy has been following me all the days of my life. Huh? Let us, the wounders of Christ, draw nigh to His bleeding side. The wounded. I do remind you, He still has the scars of His wounds. They have not been closed up. Do you think He's unforgiving? Oh no, He keeps them scars so you'll remember what you did. Huh? Oh, let us draw nigh to His bleeding side. Let us tell Him all tonight. Tell Him about those that have hurt you so deep. Maybe it would be that He would let us commune with Him and enjoy some of those kisses from His lips tonight. Let our need for forgiveness lead us to the director of forgiveness. May we be able to say tonight, ere we leave this building, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between me and my fellow man. I'm talking about the director of forgiveness. Would you stand with us tonight?